turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, we're going to be looking at verses 6 through 9. And then don't forget, all of our children, high school age and under, take notes, because the three top notes, and Miss Lucy, you get to judge the notes for me. Can you do that for me? Okay, the three, and that means they have to have all the points, and they must have at least something written under each point to qualify. The top three get $10 in Cold Stone gift card. $10 gift cards. Okay, and some people are like, well, where's Cold Stone? Great Mall still has Cold Stone. All right, Joshua 1, 6 through 9. You guys ready for the word? If you're ready for the word, say yeah.
Yeah.
You ready for the word, say amen.
Amen.
You ready for the word, say hit me with it. All right, let's go. Joshua 1, 6 through 9. If you have your Bibles or your electronic devices, I want you to just look on them there, but the words will appear on your screen. We're going to go ahead and read this together. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. If you have a different version, no worries. The words are on your screen. You guys ready? Let's read together. Ready? Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to your fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Father, thank you so much for this word this morning. We pray that it will be life-giving to our parents, to our students, to those that are here listening. I ask you, Father God, as you release this formula for success for our students, that God, you would begin to open up and give us vision, revelation, insight, and help us, Lord, to have the best years ever in school for our students. Lord, move me aside. Holy Spirit, come in, teach this word in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen.
Amen,
amen, amen. So let me give you a little humor to start us off. There's this little boy named Joey. He came home from his first day at school, and his mother asked, well, what did you learn today? And he replied, well, obviously not enough, because I got to go back tomorrow. Little girl came home, and her name is Mia. Mia says to her mom, I think we need a new teacher. Her mom says, well, why is that? Mia says, well, our teacher doesn't know anything because she keeps asking us for the answers. Okay, here's some little puns for you. What's the king of all school supplies? Anybody know? The ruler, yeah, that's a good one. All right. What kind of school do you go to if you're an ice cream man? Sunday school. What kind of school do you go to if you're a giant? High school. What kind of school do you go to if you're a surfer? Boarding school. Okay, here's the last one. What kind of school do you go to if you're a king? Night school. Never said I was a comedian, but I did want to lighten your day a little bit. So, you know, it's back to school time, and I love back to school shopping. Not for clothes, for supplies. Nobody else gets that high from back to school shopping for supplies? I don't know what it is about buying notebooks, pencils, paper that just, man, makes me feel alive. I was so mad this year because I went to Target, apparently a little too late, because the Target right up the street had nothing. I did not get my back to school supply fix. I had to buy everything on Amazon this year. I was so mad. But I loved back to school shopping, and I absolutely love back to school shopping because you get new backpacks. Now, I had to borrow my kids' backpacks because I don't really have one. So I have a backpack today with several items in my backpack. And these are the back-to-school items that I think you need if you're going to have a successful year in school. Are y'all ready for it? I have 8 items in my backpack. Clue to all the kids taking notes. There are 8 points. Y'all ready for them? So as I take off my handy-dandy little backpack, it's set for Josh size, so it's a little tight. As I take off my handy dandy little backpack, the first item in my back to school success kit, if you want to have a successful year at school, the first thing you're going to have in your kit is this. What is this? A Bible. Very good. A Bible. Joshua 1, 6 through 9, which is our base scripture for today, really focuses on success. And I love this passage because it talks about how to be successful. In this passage, I think it gives us the clue, if you're going to have a successful year at school, what that looks like. Now, some of you are like, well, what does success mean? That could be anything. For some of you, a success could be just getting all your credits because you didn't get credits before. For some of you, it could be getting a C or better or all A's. I'm not going to define the success for you. That's between you and God. Maybe for some of y'all, it's just not getting a referral and getting in trouble. Those are real things. That's a success. Whatever that means for you, I want to tell you that the Bible tells us how to be successful when it comes to school. Now, for those of you who are not in school, I want you to think about this for your job. The Bible tells you how you can be successful on your job, too. So here's what the Bible says. And I believe Joshua 1, 6 through 9 gives us the best formula for success anywhere. It's like a whole mathematical equation. The mathematical equation is this, verse 7. Be strong and courageous that you may observe to do according to all that the law which my servant Moses commanded you. Here's a part of the formula for success. Read the Bible to know what it says. If you want to be successful this year in school, you got to read the Bible. And some of y'all are like, oh, well, I don't go to a Christian school. You don't have to read the Bible at school. Just read the Bible somewhere. Read the Bible at home with your family. Read the Bible at night. Read the Bible in the morning before you go to school. Some of y'all wake up, and let me tell you something. The time you wake up, the same cartoon is on every morning. And I can tell you what cartoon it is because it's on in my house. SpongeBob. Every morning before school and every day after school, SpongeBob is on. It's like SpongeBob times it so that he grabs everybody so he can be silly in the morning, make you laugh on your way to school. But what would happen if we pick up the word before we went to school? And it doesn't have to be long. You don't have to read like 50 pages. You might just read like a chapter or maybe just a verse and talk it over with your family. Like, here's what I believe the Lord's saying to me today. This is so huge when it comes to your success. Let me show you why. Go back to that verse on the screen. The Bible says that you have to be careful to do all that's according to the law. So you have to read the Bible. But then you have to do what the Bible says. If you're going to be successful in school, read the Bible and do what it says. Some of y'all are like, well, that has nothing to do with school. Absolutely it does. Because the Bible tells us we ought to respect those in authority. Guess who's in your authority? Your teacher. You learn how to respect it. You know how many times I've heard kids say, my teacher don't like me? Okay, let me say this. How many of y'all feel like y'all have had teachers who don't like you? Raise your hand. Like almost everybody in here. I've not been a teacher, but I can safely say that there are teachers who really don't care about you that much. In other words, they're not thinking about you. They have 30 kids in their class for six to seven periods a day. That's 180 students. Do you really think they got time to be sitting there, I don't like them, I'm gonna make life hard for them? No, it really has nothing to do with that. What it has to do with is us and how we view our teachers. So we might have teachers that we feel like don't like us, but the Bible still tells us you got to honor them and respect them. So we learn how to live in situations that we're going to face every day by reading our Bible and by doing what it says. Now, Crystal, I want you to go ahead and go back to verse 7 in that passage. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7, he says, and then when you're careful to observe the law, when you read the law, you do the law. He says, don't turn from it to the right or the left. That means don't start swaying. Don't start going back and forth. Do what the word says. When you do that, you will prosper wherever you go. Somebody say wherever. That means you'll be successful wherever you, if it's at work, if it's at school, if it's on, you know, hanging out with your friends, you will prosper. You will be successful. The number one key to being successful this year is reading your word, doing it, and applying it to your life, and then prosperity will come. Okay, you don't like that? Go to verse 8, because some of y'all are like, I don't think that's true. This book of the law, here's the next part of the formula. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Somebody say, speak it. You shall meditate in it day and night. This book of the law shall not depart from. We have to keep speaking the word. Parents, speak the word over your kids. Kids, speak the word over yourself. What does that mean, Pastor? That means when you're sitting there feeling like I can't do anything, the word of God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So as you sit in a class that seems too hard for you, start speaking the word out of your mouth. Just start mumbling, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Bible tells us that if you don't let this book of the law depart from your mouth, and the Bible says if you meditate on it, meditating means think with the view of how do I apply it to my life, and you do it, then, somebody say then you will make your way prosperous. Most people, and you will have good success. Most people are waiting for God to bring success to them. But the formula is, watch this, read the word, do it, speak it, watch this, and you will make your way successful. If you can grab hold of this before we ever talk about what you do in a classroom, it will change the dynamic of your school year. It will change the dynamic of your job. Some of you are wondering why you're not successful on your job. Here's why. Are you reading the word? Are you doing it? Are you speaking it? You applying it to your life? Because if not, you won't be successful. When I got my very first job right out of college, this was the passage. This verse, Joshua 1:8, is the verse that stood and stayed on my cubicle at work. And I kept seeing it, and I kept thinking about it, and I kept saying, success is going to come because I spend time in the word, because I do what God is telling me to do. Let me tell you something. I grew so much, and I started getting raises super fast and promotions because I was in the word. Okay, y'all don't like that. Y'all say, no, there's got to be more than that. No, not really. That's it. And then when it also talks about it, meditating, prayer, talk to God. Talk to God every day. Talk to God before you go to school. Talk to God before you go to work. Talk to God while you're at school. Talk to God. Do you not know before you take a test, you ought to be talking to God more than you ever prayed or talked to God before? Look here, Jesus. I studied the best I can. I'm going to need you, Holy Spirit. Now, this is where I start recalling the scriptures, because the Bible says the Holy Spirit will bring to mind. You know, he will remind you of what the Lord has said. I'll be like, look, remind me of what I studied. Before I take this test. Y'all don't hear me. Now, here's the funny part. If you ain't studied, he ain't got nothing to remind you of. Why not? I know that you're in a public school. Nobody has to know you're praying. You don't have to pray like this. You can pray with your eyes open, and you can just simply just have a little whisper with Jesus. Look, Jesus, help me with this test. Now, here's the thing. I know y'all really pray when you didn't study. Come on, Holy Ghost, come through. Help me. Y'all start going like y'all are old Baptist preacher. Ha, ha, ha. Holy Spirit, come on in right now and help me. You know I didn't study, Jesus. But, oh, God, if you just do a work in my heart and in my life, I promise you, next time, I will get it right. Y'all will start studying and y'all start praying in. Imagine if I don't care if you studied or you didn't to start with. I just want you to start praying and watch God do a work. There have been times in my life in school when I just blew it and didn't study. And I'd be like, look, God, I need you to come on in. And I'll go to school that day. Y'all ever had this happen? And the teacher will say, either they're not there, so we're not having the test. Or they'll say, you know what, I feel like we need to take a little bit longer and study. I'd be like, hallelujah! He came through, he came through! Look, God, let me tell you something. Some of the first miracles I witnessed were based on school and tests. I was like, he is real! He works! He moves! He does amazing things! So you need to take this Bible, this word, of God with you as you go to school in your back-to-school success kit. All right, here's the second thing you need to have in your back-to-school success. If you're going to be successful, the second thing you need to have. Now, let me tell you something. Every year when we would go back to school, we would have to go to the eye doctor. because they wanted to test our sight. And I hated it because I ended up getting glasses. The second thing in your back-to-school success kit, I hope these aren't prescription, by the way, is you got to have glasses. You got to have glasses. Why do you need glasses in your back-to-school kit? Well, some of y'all are like, because I can't see the board. First of all, on a side note, parents, your kids might not be getting the best grades because they can't see the board. Check their vision first. And kids are like, they don't realize they can't see the board. They just think that's the way the board is supposed to look. So they're like, oh, well, I missed that one. Right? And no kid wants to sit in the front of the class. But, oh, yeah, this is a side tip. Sit in the front of the classroom if you can. All my college students, here's your number one success tip outside of the Bible. Okay, number two, three, or four. I don't care where you put it. But here's your success tip. This is not a part of the notes. Sit in the front of the class. Makes you stay awake. Makes you act like you know what you're doing. And it makes you act like you're actively engaged. And teachers think the smart people sit in the front. So you already got a leg up. They think you smart just for sitting in the front row. I can tell right now who the smart ones in church are. No, just kidding. I'm joking. Our front row stays empty. Unless we have Operation Solid Lives when you are required to sit in the front row. Watch this. We got a corner that is so packed, people are falling off their chairs because they will refuse to sit in the front row. I asked my kids, I said, how come y'all don't ever sit in the front row? Well, we see the little cards on the seat, so we think they're reserved. I was like, you know better than that. Smarty pants. In case any of you are thinking the front chairs are reserved, they are not. So, why glasses? Why glasses? Proverbs 29:18 says, in the King James Version, where there is no vision, people perish. Where there is no vision, people perish. The New King James Version says, where there is no revelation or vision, the people cast off restraint, which means they have no boundaries when they have no vision. You have no level of restraint when you have no vision. Now, I'm not talking about just seeing a board vision. I'm talking about being able to see into your future. What is it that God's calling for you? What's the vision God has for your life? Tennis star Billie Jean King says that she would know which of her opponents will miss their serve. She says this. She says, I know they're going to miss their serve because when they stand at the line ready to serve, you can see it in their faces. They have in their mind already pictured themselves hitting the ball into the net, and that is exactly what they do. She says, when I stand at the line to serve, I picture myself hitting the ball squarely into their court. And that is usually, almost every time, where the ball goes. If you want to succeed at something, you have to picture yourself doing it successfully. How many of our students have pictured themselves getting A's? You know why it's hard for our students to see themselves getting A's? Because they have no vision of seeing themselves getting A's. If I have a vision where there is no vision, without a vision, the people cast off restraint. If I don't see myself getting an A, I don't work towards getting an A because I don't see myself as an A student. Oh, I'm preaching some stuff right here. Put your glasses on and start asking yourself, where do I want to be this year? What's my goal? You know, the best thing that I can tell you to do is to get a vision board. I meant to bring my vision board today, but I forgot. A vision board is kind of like a poster, a piece of paper, anything that creates a pictorial view of where you see yourself going. You know, maybe for those of you who are not in school, you might see yourself put a picture of a house because you want to buy a house, or a car because you want to buy a car. Or maybe you see yourself and you put dollar amounts on your vision board because that's how much money you want to make. Or maybe like on my vision board, I put a little picture of a Bible because I want to make sure I stay in the Word and I want to make sure I'm growing closer to Christ. What's on your vision board? You maybe put quotes up. You have to get your children to do a vision board. Now, I sat down with my children this year to do their first vision board. And let me tell you something. It was like pulling teeth. I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's easy. I'm not going to tell you your kids are going to get excited because it's a craft that we get to do together. If you got boys, they don't want to do that. cut and paste. You know I can't cut straight, mama. But what I was challenging to do was to tell me, show me your glasses. Show me what you're looking at this year. Young people, those of you in college, those of you high school, elementary, what do you want to see happen this year in school? Because without a vision, you're never going to get there. Most people think that getting good grades is wishful thinking. I just get an A. That is not how it works. Matter of fact, because my kids play baseball, I actually found this really great book. It's a book on baseball, but it's a book that I think is really helpful no matter if you're a baseball player or not. It's by Bob Tewksbury, who was a pitcher for the St. Louis Cardinals. Go Cardinals. And the book is called 90% Mental. And Bob Tewksbury is the mental skills coach for the San Francisco Giants. Do you not know that professional athletes have people teach them how to visualize and put glasses on so they can see themselves doing stuff? Do you know why? Because he says, if your mind can see yourself doing something, it is such a powerful thing, your body will follow what your mind saw. Yeah, y'all don't understand what I'm talking about. Ever been asleep and you had a dream where you was falling off a cliff? You're not really falling off a cliff. You're in the bed asleep. Jeremiah says, I have those dreams all the time. Yes. You have those dreams. You lay in the bed. What does your body do? It jumps. Now, watch this. You're not really falling off a cliff, but your mind is so powerful that the image in your mind makes your body feel like this is a reality. What if you get an image of your mind about what success looks like for you in school before you go to school? What if you get an image in your mind of what it's going to feel like to walk away with an A on that test? Or what if you get an image in your mind of what it's going to feel like to end the school year without having any disciplinary problems? What is it going to feel like if you get a vision in your mind of you being successful in your job or in your career? It changes everything. Your body will follow the image you put in your mind. You got to have a vision. And most people think, well, this is for old people. You need a vision. Anybody ever see kids with glasses? Don't you think kids need glasses too? They gotta see stuff too. Let me tell you something. The world has been putting a lens on these babies long enough. The lens is, if you're this color, you're not smart enough. If you're this gender, you can't do this. If you come from this neighborhood, you'll never be able to have. There's a lot of lenses and visions that the world has placed on our babies. Look, let me tell you something. Kids, dream your own dreams. Start dreaming for yourself. What do you want to do? What do you want to see? And write them down. Okay, so you got to have a Bible. Got to have glasses. Here's the third thing in your back-to-school success kit. Oh. This is a little more practical. You gotta have a calendar. Wonk, wonk, wonk. You gotta have a calendar. Well, why do I need a calendar? Proverbs 21:5 says, the plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. The plans of people who are diligent create profit. But if you don't plan, it leads to poverty. Calendar represents planning. This is where I lose my children. Watch this. An actor who made it big in a movie was on a talk show one month, and a woman in the audience stood up and asked him how it felt to be an overnight success. The actor explained that it took him 17 years to be an overnight success. He pointed out that few people knew that he had gone to hundreds of auditions, waited tables for years, washed out countless garbage cans, and sometimes had nothing to eat but ketchup sandwiches. In effect, he was telling her that he may be at the top of the hill now, but it took him 17 years of working, studying, and learning his craft to get there. A number of studies on this same principle apply to losing weight. If you want to lose weight, you know how you say, I want to lose 50 pounds this year. You can't wait till November and go on a, you know what we do, and then we go on one of them super fast fad diets. so we can lose 50 pounds in 2 months? No, a better strategy for you is to plan and to begin to work each week to lose even a half a pound a week. Do you not know if you lose a half a pound to a pound a week, you'll lose 50 pounds, 25 to 50 pounds in a year? But you know what? We fail to plan. We don't use this. This also applies to getting passing grades in schools. Every kid in September and October is like, yes, I'm going to get a good grade, but the weather is so nice outside. Let me just go outside and play basketball just a little bit longer. Let me go play a little Fortnite. Okay, y'all don't go outside. Fortnite? And then in the last month of schools, students either become extreme optimists or extreme pessimists. If they're extreme pessimists, they'll say, it's just too late now, I'm done. I'm just going to have to take an L on this one. Right? And if they're extreme optimists, they'll say, well, I'll work really, really hard and I'll pass the course. And you know what happens? Neither of those. They end up both failing. Right? The best thing is those who begin to plan little by little each day will pass the scores. Students who do well in school don't wait to get into till they get into the mood to study. Hey, kids. You'll never feel like studying. I'm just gonna wait till I feel like it. You ain't gonna never feel like studying. You ain't gonna never wanna study. Some of y'all just really like school. You might really like a certain project. You might want to, but let's be honest. Those of y'all in college, let me ask y'all, how many of y'all really want to do the work and read all them chapters? First of all, college is ridiculous because they ask you to read like 10 chapters a night. Who wants to read that much? Pastor Jen. Nobody else wants to read that much, Pastor Jen. You can also not wait until you feel motivated to start studying for a test. Some of y'all do this the night before. I'm going to wait till I get motivated. You know when motivation happens for most of y'all at 10 o'clock at night because you realize this is the last procrastination. It's all I got. But do you not know that if you would plan to study, you'll retain stuff better? Cramming, you don't learn nothing when you cram. Okay, let me ask a study. How many adults crammed for tests when you were a kid? Raise your hand. Kid, they said that was yesterday. I crammed at work trying to get stuff done at work. How many of you remember what you studied when you crammed? Raise your hand. Like one person. You must have a super brain. Because you know what? When you cram, it's like you shove information in, and then you just get it out as fast as you can, and you don't remember anything. But if you learn in small chunks of time and you plan it, your brain will remember stuff easier and better. Do you not know if you plan to study for a test the night before, you ain't got to be cramming? Wonk, wonk, wonk. You don't have to cram. Alex said, really. Alex, you and I are the masters of procrastination, so... So how do I do it? Budget your time. Create a weekly schedule so that of when you're going to study and stick to the schedule. The sooner you get a schedule and the sooner you get on schedule, the sooner and easier it will become. What are some simple things you can do? Sunday night, the night before the week, take a look at what you have coming up in the school week. Some of you all have like School Loop or Power School and the teachers put your assignments coming up for the week. Some of you, hopefully you took notes during the week, which I'll talk about. If you did that, you'll see things coming up. Okay, people at work, take Sunday night to plan your week. It will change your life. You will stop being surprised. Oh my God, I can't believe I had a dentist appointment and I was planning on going here. If you take the time to plan your week and use a calendar, life will be a lot easier. Isn't it funny how the Bible gives us simple things? For those of you who have big projects, break them down into small assignments and small tasks. Like if you have a book report, how many of y'all honestly wait till 2 days before the book report is due to start reading the book? Okay, like 5 kids have been very honest. I love y'all. Thank you for being honest. It is so true. And then you get mad because you're like, I can't believe the teacher assigned all this work. But here's what's funny. Your book reports... usually they give you a month or so to do them. So they really didn't assign all that work. If you'll break down just a simple mathematical equation, y'all know I like math, just a simple mathematical equation. Back out a week before the book report is due. Look at the number of pages. 200 pages and I have 4 weeks to do, that's 50 pages a week. How many pages can I read 5 days a week? 10 pages. If I read 10 pages every day for 5 days a week, then I'll have this book read by the time a week before the book report is due. Then the week before the book report is due, I can take 2 days to write out the answers to the issues. The last 3 days, I'm actually reviewing and I'm actually editing my papers. And guess what? I have now turned in the very best book report I could ever have. The reason I'm doing this, some of y'all are like, this is so simple. No, the reason I'm doing this and I'm doing it with parents in the room is because some of us, look, I went to school. Nobody told me how to study. Nobody taught me how to study. Nobody showed me this. They said get A's, but they didn't say this is how you get an A. So I'm doing this because I want to make sure that our parents are equipped and our kids are equipped to know these are the things you need to do if you're going to get an A. Some of y'all just got A's naturally and didn't realize you were doing these things. And some of y'all were like, Alex, you waited the last minute and you did it and you got an A anyway. People like that, we all hate because we're like, oh my God. He said it's a gift. It is not. It's a curse because I have the same curse. But get on a consistent schedule. Okay, here we go. Fourth thing in your back to school success kit. I'm gonna make this fast now. Ready? What's in here? Oh, yeah. A watch. Wonk, wonk, wonk. Some of y'all can't get nowhere on time. Get a watch. Ephesians 5:15. That's not what this is about, though. Ephesians 5:15 says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Do you not know that every gift of a second and a minute is a gift from the Lord? Use that gift of time wisely. Look, whatever you do, you can use a watch to help you be successful. What do you mean? You'll be on time. Tips for getting a good grade. Don't procrastinate. Use your watch, right? Do your homework immediately. If you don't, you're wasting time. I calculated how much time my kids spend playing video games versus how much time they study. And let me tell you, video games are far outweighing the amount of time they'll spend studying. You know what they do on the weekends? How many of y'all think the weekends are for doing nothing? Be honest. That's a lie. That's a lie the enemy is trying to tell you. The weekends are about preparing for the next week and getting yourself together, not wasting time. Yes, you need a day. I believe every kid needs a day off. But that's one day and there's 6 days in the week or 7 days in a week. So 6 days you ought to be working. Y'all seen that in scripture? And one day you get off. How do I work for 6 days? That means maybe on Sunday it's my rest day, but on Saturday I'm still working. I'm still studying. I'm still looking ahead. I'm still reading. You ought to be spending more time working on schoolwork than you are playing video games and watching TV. If you want to be successful, and let me tell you something, this doesn't just apply when you're a kid, but it applies when you're an adult. Adults are talking about, I want to make all this money. You want to make a whole lot of money, but you spend your Saturday sitting there watching TV doing nothing. Well, you ought to be working on your business plan. You ought to be working, talking about how am I going to get this moving, putting your web page together, your landing page, doing what you're supposed to do. So many people are so caught up into I need rest. Jesus and the Bible tells us that God rested on the seventh day. He didn't rest six and seven. You get 5 days to work for somebody else and one day where you can work for yourself. Go get some work in and do what you need to do to reach the goals and the vision that God has given you. But don't sit there and complain like nothing's happening for me. You ain't doing nothing. Don't sit back and complain. We are wasting so much time. TV is consuming way too much time. TV is keeping us from being successful students, successful business owners, successful people in our community. Because you know what? The TV is sucking the life out of you. Now, I'm not saying don't ever watch TV. Kids, look, I'm a good, you know, I could take a good SpongeBob movie here and there. But what I am saying is you don't have to be watching TV 2 to 4 hours a day or binge watching 10 hours on a Saturday. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. All right, here's the fifth thing every child needs. And kids, you're going to love me when I say this. In your back-to-school success kit, you need a cell phone. The kids are like, I told you, Mom. Said I need a cell phone. No child feels complete without a cell phone. Now, children use their cell phones for multiple reasons. They use it to play video games, and they use it to stay connected with friends. I want to talk about the connection with friends. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." Your cell phone will help you watch your friends. What that means is you can be the greatest kid ever, but if you hang around the wrong people, you're going to start looking like the people you hang out with. Let me help those of y'all in business. You're going to start looking like the folks you hang out with. If the people you hang out with don't have any vision for anything higher, neither will you. Y'all messing with me. Kids, if you hang around folks who don't do good stuff, guess what? You eventually going to start doing what they're going to do. "No, that's not me. I'm not like them." Oh, no, no, no. Use your cell phone to watch what they're doing. I know you're on Snapchat anyway. Don't just be Snapchatting and Instagramming and looking at it just because you think it's cool. Look at the pictures they post. If you're girls or if you're a guy and your friends are posting pictures showing everything off, unfriend them and remind yourself, that's probably not the kind of friend I need. Use this little piece of technology to watch the people around you. Are they honest? Are they posting one thing and doing another? Oh, y'all are missing this. Are they obedient? Do they respect their parents? Or are they talking about their parents and teachers on Instagram and on Facebook like nothing? Guess what? If they talking about them, they're going to turn on you too. Are they talking about other people? Don't sit there and chime in and be like, "Yeah, girl, you right." Uh-uh. Because let me tell you, it's going to be 2 seconds before they turn on you. Pay attention. Watch people. Now, all of you parents are like, "Oh, my God, now you want them on Instagram and Facebook." They own it anyway. Well, they ain't really on Facebook. They're on Instagram, Snapchat, some new stuff they got. I don't even know what it is. Use it to watch your friends and make sure you make good choices this school year with who you hang out with. Okay, that's so much. Okay, here's the next one. I got two more items. Three, two, I don't know. Here's the next one. I'm almost done. That's not it. Gooby, how many things you got in here? Can't even find it. You got so many. Okay, we'll take this. Pencil. Number 6 in your back school success kit is a pencil. Habakkuk 2:2 says, "Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it." What does that mean? Write everything down so you can start running with it. The simple act of writing down your assignments is the cornerstone for staying on top of your schoolwork. Wonk, wonk, wonk. Just write it down. I don't have to write it down. I remember it up here. No, you don't. When you write things down, you have a better sense of what needs to be done. When you write things down, it's something that happens in your mind. You visualize it, you're actively involved in it. It helps to remember to do it. When you write things down, you can create a checklist of the things you need to do and you can check them off. That's why the Bible says write them down, make it plain so that you can run with it. That means you write it down so you know what you're supposed to do next. Some of y'all spend 5 to 10 minutes a day per subject finding what you need to do. If you have 6 subjects, that results in 30 to 60 minutes of wasted time. If you would just write them down in one place at the end of every class, you would save yourself a half an hour to an hour when you get home every night. All in one place, ready to go. Okay? The next thing, and when you have a pencil, is take notes in class. "Well, I don't need to take notes. Teacher said we don't have to." Yes, you do. Stop lying. Devil is a lie. Everybody ought to be taking notes in class. That's old school. We have an iPad. Okay, you don't want the pencil? Use the little typewriter on your iPad. But take notes. Your teachers often give clues to what's going to be on the test. They might say things like, "This is really important." Or they might say, "I wouldn't be surprised if this showed up on your test." Or make sure you know this one concept for the test. Write those things down, okay? Write down due dates. Oh, my God. You know how many kids don't know when stuff is due? Do you know how many kids? "Wait, I got a test tomorrow? Teacher never said anything about a test." It's been on the board for 2 weeks. She's been talking about, "Don't forget you got a test coming up," and you ain't wrote nothing down. It was a pop quiz. I was like, it was a pop quiz, but I'm sitting here looking online, seeing that 2 weeks ago she said, you had a, because you know, my kids will come back to me. "They gave me this pop quiz, and I can't believe they did this to me." And, you know, you get a little riled up. I'm ready to go. Let's go tell that teacher off. But I always check myself. Let me go look back online and see. Boy, 2 weeks ago, it was talking about this being due. Oh, write it down. Oh, no, I'll just check online. No, no. If you write it down, it gets in your memory and you got a list. All right, y'all, the parents are clapping. Kids aren't. Okay, I'm almost done. Two things. Okay, next one. Next one, next one, next one. Okay, here we go. Number 7, post-it notes. Post-it notes. Why? Post-it notes are a small piece of paper used for attaching notes to documents and other surfaces. Post-its are the key to your life because a post-it can change your attitude. You can use a post-it. Philippians 4, 8 through 9 says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. These little things help you to put post-its everywhere to remind you to change your attitude. You can apply this. Now watch this. Y'all have emojis. That's why I use yellow. You got the happy face emoji. You can put that on your math because you're sitting there going like, ain't no way I'm going to ever learn this. Put a happy face emoji. Change your attitude about your math before you start it. You have a sad face emoji. Put this on your iPad when you get ready to start doing Fortnite. No, we don't want to play Fortnite. Change your attitude. Fortnite bad, school good. Fortnite bad, school good. Change your attitude. A poopy emoji. That means don't turn in bad work. Put a poopy emoji on the stuff you didn't work hard on. I could do better here. I shouldn't give my best. I should work harder. Why? What am I doing? When I put post-its, I change my attitude. Post-its are a sign that I'm changing my attitude about things. If you're struggling to have a good attitude about something, take a post-it, put a smiley face on it to remind yourself, I need to have a good attitude about this class. I need to have a good attitude about this teacher. I need to have a good attitude about this project. Because without a good attitude, it's going to be very difficult for me to be successful. Okay, I got to move on. I had a lot of stuff about your attitude, but I'm going to move through it because we're out of time. Last one, last thing in my back-to-school success kit is this. A ruler. Ruler. Psalm 8, 5 through 6 says this, you made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet. I want you to know, kids, as you go back to school, don't forget who you are and don't forget whose you are. You are a child of the king. The king is a ruler and so are you. You are a leader. You are not a follower. You are the head. You are not the tail. You are above only and not beneath. You are blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. You are above, you are not beneath. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are a success. You are not a failure. You are God's child. Don't forget that you are supposed to be the leader, the ruler, and you are not supposed to be the follower. People are supposed to be imitating you, not imitating the world. Come on, somebody. Don't forget who you are. Be a ruler. Come on, everybody, stand to your feet. Those are my 8 points. At the end of service, I'm going to ask all the children, those of you who want to win a gift card, to come see Miss Lucy. She's going to give you that. But what I'm going to ask all the children to do now is to come up and let me pray for you. I want to pray for you as you go back to school. Can we do that? Come on, all the kids. If you're in school, K through college, come on up. I want to pray for you. Preschool through college. Preschool. Well, come on. You learning stuff too. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Jesus is the Lord of me. Okay, give those to Miss Lucy for me. Come on up, let me pray for you. Come on. Why y'all all right here? Come, 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 come. Come. No, I was going to Miss, they're going to Miss Lucy. They're trying to get their stuff on. Come on over, come on over, come on over, come on over, come on over. Come on over, come on over. Come on, y'all can slide down. Slide. We got enough space. Get them all at the altar. Now, those of you that are out there, I'm going to ask you to extend your hands towards our children. We're going to pray success over them. We're going to pray visions to be released over them. I want them all close, close, close. Because here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to just come by and I'm just put my hand on your shoulder. I'm going to be praying, but you guys keep praying too. I'm going to make this super fast. I'm not anybody going to be like all on the ground. We're just going to touch you on your shoulder and move on. Can we do that? All right, Father, in the name of Jesus, y'all be praying. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for success over each and every one of our children. We pray, Father God, that you will bless them, Father God. We pray that they would keep their minds set on you. We ask you, Heavenly Father, that you would use them, Father God, to be rulers on their campuses, to be kings and to be queens, Father God. We pray, Heavenly Father, that they would meditate on your word, that you would help them to be organized, that you would help them, Father God, to do their very best this year. We ask you, Father God, for vision. Lord, I release a vision over them right now of something greater than what they've already imagined. Lord, I declare that some of them have never seen themselves successful, but Lord, I pray right now that you would release a vision of success right now on them. I pray, Heavenly Father, that Lord, they would begin to see themselves the way you have seen them. For your word says, Father God, that you have a plan for each and every one of them. Plan, Father God, to not harm them, plan to grow them, plan to give them success, plan to give them a hope and a positive future. I declare, Father God, that friends, Lord, friends that they shouldn't have be gone in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father God, for good, godly friends, friends who are serving you. I pray for our college students, Father God, that as they move forward in their success, that God, you would bless them, Father God, in their careers, that you would bless them with vision. I declare over them, Father God, that they will not forget your word, that they are strong and courageous, Father God, that they are careful to do all that is written in your word. I declare that these young people will not turn from the right to the right or to the left from your word this year, but that they may prosper wherever they go. I declare that this word shall not depart from their mouth, but that they will meditate in it day and night, and they will observe it. And Lord, I declare that they will make their way prosperous and they will be successful. I speak a blessing over them. I declare that they're blessed when they come into their classrooms. They're blessed when they leave their classrooms. I declare, Father God, that they are the head and not the tail. I declare leadership positions over the kids that are in this church, in their school, and I release upon them, Father God, the positive power of a vision and a heart to go after it. And I declare, Father God, that they will be exactly what you have created and called them to be. We thank you, Father God, for this time. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. May the Spirit of the living God rest, rule, and abide with you henceforth, now, and forevermore. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be Lord of your life, that's the number one place where success begins.
You have been listening to Pastor Shayna Hurd, Senior Pastor of Rohi Christian Church, a multi-ethnic, economically diverse, Spirit-led congregation located in San Jose, California. For audio teaching downloads by Pastor Shayna, service times and directions, or to become a Rohi partner, go to www.rohichurch.org or write to Rohi Christian Church, 474 Piercy Road, San Jose, California, 95138.